DNA is composed of simple sugars and bits of protein. What caused these simple molecules to get together, arrange themselves in a pattern with billions of tiny segments, and all of a sudden learn to divide? One plausible answer is that an invisible organizing principle is at work. The need for life to reproduce itself is fundamental. The need for chemicals to reproduce themselves is nil. So even at this most basic level, we see certain qualities of awareness, recognition, memory, self-preservation, and identity coming into play. Now add the element of time. To form a baby, a single fertilized cell must be a master of timing. Every organ of the body exists in seed form within a single strand of DNA. Yet, to emerge correctly, they must take their turn. As brain cells float toward each other, they cross paths with proto-heart, proto-kidney, and proto-stomach cells, none of them getting in the way or causing a confusion of identity. This spectacle is astonishing. Think of it. A baby brain cell somehow knows who it is going to be in advance. How does it keep track of its purpose in life with so many billions of signals being sent all around it? Memory, learning, and identity precede matter. They govern matter. I conclude that the field of awareness is our true home, and that awareness contains the secrets of evolution, not the body or even DNA. This shared home is the light spoken of by mystics. It is the potential for life and intelligence, and it is life and intelligence once they appear. Your mind is one focus of this cosmic awareness. Just as your body is held together by inner awareness, there's a flow of awareness outside you. Now let's return to the original question. Who were you before you were you? The Vedic seers say the real you cannot be squeezed into the volume of a body or the span of a lifetime. Just as reality flows from the virtual to the quantum to the material level, so do you. Whether we call this reincarnation or not almost doesn't matter. This is how a single fertilized cell learns to become a brain. It wakes up to itself, not on the chemical level, but on the level of awareness. Perhaps you are a single cell among millions too, each cell being a lifetime. Now imagine that expanded awareness is normal. Time and space could just be concepts in the material world, but dissolve gradually as you approach the quantum world. This is what I believe reincarnation is about. Former lives fall into the unexplored territory of expanded awareness. It isn't absolutely necessary to decide whether they are real or not. Verification that I was a Nepalese soldier at the time of the Emperor Ashoka is never going to come my way. But if my empathy is so strong that I cannot help but adopt some of those principles, we can truthfully say that a wider range of life has influenced my mind. In a very real sense, the terms former life and expanded life are the same thing. People who shut out their former lives, if we want to use that terminology, are shutting out lessons that give this present lifetime its meaning and purpose. For someone who has absorbed these lessons fully, there's no need to go beyond this lifetime. Finally, the fact that we are not confined to our physical body and mind gives us reason to believe in the existence of a cosmic intelligence that permeates life. The timeless place where God exists can't be reduced to an address. Our exploration into former lifetimes indicates that the same may be true of us as well. The ability to know what another person is thinking, whether you call it mind reading or extrasensory perception, also occupies a shadowy middle ground between popular belief and science. ESP has hindered investigation because it isn't clear that there really is a sender and a receiver. The blurring of two minds or the sharing of one thought is just as likely an explanation. Twins can have uncanny similarities in the way their lives unfold. Extensive studies of identical twins, however, show that no stereotype covers all cases. Even when the empathy is intense, the twins do not divide into a sender of thought and a receiver. What this implies is that in the mind field, any boundary can be tenuous. If necessary, your mind can merge and communicate with another. In general, momentous events will act as a trigger, causing one twin to know that his brother has suddenly been struck by lightning. We all assume that we are the authors of our thoughts. But if two people vividly share the same thought, it may be that neither one is the author. There is simply the simultaneous reception of an idea. We can cite instances where two philosophers or scientists had the identical inspiration without knowing each other. In Hollywood, identical storylines arrive in clusters, so that millions wind up being spent on competing asteroid collision plots or volcano epics. We often say that an idea is in the air, and this may be literally true, in that the unmanifest may unfold certain insights or revelations on a broad scale. Two intimately connected minds can be united at the level of awareness. In wartime, it is not uncommon for parents to know with certainty the exact moment that a son is killed on the battlefield. Awareness doesn't have to be human. It seems to pervade all life forms. You can puree a sea cucumber in a blender, pour the solution of brine and cells into a bucket, and after a while, the entire animal will regroup itself from the unformed biological sludge. These are all examples of awareness as a field beyond the body. These examples help us to shift away from a strictly private, isolated mind to a universal shared mind whose body is the universe. Isolation is a material fact, but not a quantum fact. It seems undeniable that our cosmic identity is real.